many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me. Hey now, don't dream it's over. Hey now, when the world comes in, let come to build a wall between us. No, they won't win.
Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Folks, we are glad to have you with us tonight because we're not in Winnipeg. We are live. We are on the air. We are broadcasting from McLaughlin Arena in Charlottetown, the home of the UPEI Panthers, who are currently playing in front of, well, not currently in front of us, they're actually in the dressing room. First intermission between Montreal and UPEI. It is tied 0-0. UPEI will come back in the second period with 1:05 on the power play. To my left, the man who was calling games for the University of Manitoba Bisons this weekend on UMFM, Mr. Jason Pajak. Jason, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah? Doing all right?
Yeah. It's wonderful here. Like, the weather is turning out pretty well. The time change hasn't really hit yet.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we were up until probably 1 o'clock in the morning yesterday.
Well, some of us were.
Some of us were. No, I'm sorry.
I was not. I will admit it. I was not.
The rest of us can't just fall asleep with the switch of a button like you can.
I can turn it on and turn it off whenever I have to. Yeah. That's all I can say.
But yeah, it's wonderful here. Just like every single person we've met here in PEI so far has been absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
Everyone's super excited to have us here, excited to have the tournament here, like even just down to like people in the stores.
We were out yesterday getting some adult beverages, and man, that guy in the liquor store was quite happy about having us here. He was
exactly.
Quite excited for us.
Yeah.
So
had some good tips too.
He did. He made sure that he told us to drink responsibly. So
yes,
we were doing that yesterday.
We did that yesterday.
In saying that, though, happy to be here. Like you were saying, Jason, it's a fantastic event so far. Rink is packed tonight, folks.
Oh, yeah.
It is standing room only here at McLaughlin Arena for the home team, who's technically the visitors tonight. But the home team, UPEI, against Montreal in the second game. Unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about the first game in the tournament. That was earlier today, happened at 3 p.m. Atlantic time, 1 p.m. Central time, and it featured our own Manitoba Bisons up against the OUA champion Guelph Griffins, and it didn't start well.
No. 2 goals in the first 2 minutes, put the Bisons in a 2-0 hole, and for the first 20 minutes of that game, that was not the Bisons team we've seen.
I'll be honest, and I said it on the broadcast, that might have been the worst hockey I've seen from the Bisons since I started broadcasting.
Yeah.
That was brutal to watch, and even worse, I hope, to play, because it looked like none of them wanted to be here in terms of the competition here today. So somehow, some way, they made it out of the first period, though, down 2-1 as Alana Sharman scored a late goal with 30 seconds to go in the period, cut the deficit in half, and then came out in the second period for another early goal from Sharman, tied it up at 2-2.
Yeah,
thoughts on how Sharman played today? Because it looked like she was, I would say she was motivated.
Yeah, she was really out. She was out for blood. She really wanted this. She wanted that win so badly. And like both of her goals were just vintage Alana Sharman for different reasons. The first one, she basically explained it to me after the game. She's like, it was just a blur. Both goals were just a blur. I saw the puck there. She's like, it was a good shot by my Medusac. And she's like, I just saw the puck there and I swiped at it and it went in. Like, I didn't even see it go in. And the second one, just a play off the boards by Zacharias. Sharman goes around, gets it, plays it up the boards, picks up her own, basically passes it to herself, goes. Defender takes off, takes Sheridan Oswald away as an option, so she just roofs it. And
That was an incredible shot, I
Yeah, those
say.
Were just fantastic. And again, we saw what we saw a lot during the playoffs, where Sharman basically did everything she could and, you know, did it all by herself, getting it down into the offensive zone, and then was just, she was in the middle of five other wrong colored jerseys and had no support. And
And it's tough to watch that. I know she's a graduating senior, and I know, yeah. you know, Jordy on that line, and I know, you know, Sheridan Oswald on that line. I know they're getting up the ice as fast as they can, but the fact, and again, Sharman starts out at the Manitoba blue line with the puck, and she's across, she's into the offensive zone within seconds. She's made a move around one player and is now going north-south as quickly as she can, mm-hmm. but she's faster than everybody else on our line right now, and it doesn't help that they can't catch up to her before yeah. the defenders can get back and take the puck away from her.
And it makes me kind of think that maybe it would have been best to change up the lines a little bit, put somebody that can keep up with her yeah. on that line.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're moving pieces around that you really need in different positions, but at least try something. Like, get a Shatirbach or a Masse on that line
well,
with her.
Well, the line where they scored, you were right. I mean, you're talking the right thing now, right? I mean, Oswald and Masse, or Kucherovy and Masse were out with her on that first goal that she scored.
Yeah.
And they both went to the net, which allowed her to feed that puck out front. The puck came back to Nanuzic and allowed her to get to the front yeah. of the net as well. So I have no problem with that. I think you're actually on the right track there, whether or not, I mean, we're on the wrong side mm-hmm. Of the arena where the coaching staff usually stands, so we don't get to make those calls.
Yeah.
But I think there's some validity there, and I think that next year they're going to have to find somebody who fits in with Jordy and then fits in with Sheridan on separate lines. I think that those two need to be broken up.
Yeah.
There's just, for as long as they've been together now, they seem to have no chemistry with each other.
Yeah, and really for both of them, Jordy especially, she doesn't need a centerman that can drive the play forward. She needs somebody that can, you know, move the puck and dish it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about cycling the puck, moving it around, and having a player that knows where to be to draw attention and yeah. draw defenders to leave Jordy open and still have the ability to sneak the puck through and get it to her. Like, I'm thinking more, not a Lauren Keane, but, you know, fitting more of that mold where
yeah.
the puck movement ability is there.
Maybe it's a Hallie Oswald for next year, or a Hallie Oswald, a Hallie Edwards coming in next
yeah.
year. Maybe it's a Sarah Dennehy next year
yeah.
in terms of getting her in there.
Like,
so.
Really, what we've seen from Jordy is that when she sets up in a spot and can take the puck and can get a quick shot off, that's perfect for her.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to think about it. She doesn't have to, you know, sit there, pick a spot, doesn't have to make a move. She just sits there in her spot and waits for the puck to come on
yeah.
and hit her stick, and then
she had that great one-timer on the power play today that almost snuck in the inside the post there. So maybe that's the key, is sort of setting her up to be sort of the, I hate to use the term, but sort of the Patrick Laine of the team, where
yeah.
she can find her open spot and tee one up at that point. So I don't know. I look at a couple of different options and a couple of different things, and I mm-hmm. kind of go, you got to find something that works, though, and right now she just can't find that wheelhouse that she had in the early part of the season.
Yeah, and I really think Sharmi is not the right fit, because, you know, she does things on her own. We saw it last year with Western Cup, like that play where she peeled out of the corner
yeah.
and went straight to the net. Like, that's exactly what she does. That's what Lauren Keane does. That's what Carissa Kirkup does.
Right.
They move the play by themselves, and really, you know, when you're putting somebody who relies on puck movement with them, it's not going to work out.
No, yeah, I agree with that. You brought her up. I'll bring her up as well. Carissa Kirkup buried in the corner in the second period there. Did not look good after the game. She had the arm wrapped up. She was in a sling. There's a suspected shoulder injury there. I got to say right now, and I know she's probably not listening, and that's fine, and I don't really care if she hears this, but Carissa's probably had the worst luck when it comes to these last
yep.
2 years, when it comes to going to Nationals or, mm-hmm. or being part of the team that goes to Nationals. Like, this is just another injury on a long list of terrible, terrible breaks that she's gotten. And I'm gonna be honest, she deserves much better than the cards she's been dealt. But at the same time, though, a couple of nice compliments. We heard one of the scouts from St. FX come over and say, you know, 41 has literally been the best player on the ice. Love
yep.
the way she skates, got a good low balance, good low center of gravity. Love how she plays the game. That's the kind of girls we're looking to recruit here. Like, if that's not the number one best thing you can hear
yeah.
as a player, that you're looking for girls in a Carissa Kirkup mold, I don't know what the highest compliment would be. I would take that pretty highly. But again, I just feel bad, because, I mean, this was sort of her last attempt to bring home another gold medal here, and she wasn't ineffective after she came on the ice, but you could tell she was pretty hurt after the
yeah,
game when we saw her.
There was something missing from her game when she came back that you're like, oh, right, something more wrong is going on here. And
yeah.
really, I don't think we would have heard anything about it. I don't think we would be talking about it if they won. I think she would have tried.
I think the smile would have erased a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And she really would have put a lot into kind of not hiding, but masking the fact that she was hurting as much as she was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The other big notable, obviously, missing piece today, Alexandra Anderson, was out again. She is still listed as day-to-day. She looks fine. We talked to her after the game. She seems to be in pretty good spirits, but still listed as day-to-day by the Bisons in terms of her shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. I'd ask the question, if they won, do we see her again in this tournament? Do you think now that they're playing on the consolation side after losing today to Guelph, do you think that maybe Anderson just goes, you know what, I'm good?
I know she's
a competitor. I know she wants to get back in. But this is legitimately the end for her in terms of her hockey. Maybe there's one more game in her, but do you risk it if she's only 80%?
I think...
maybe, you know, 90?
If... knowing Alex... she probably would say yes.
Wow. I mean, Alex would be out there if she was missing a leg. Like, let's be honest.
I mean, ultimately the decision rests with the coaching staff. I think if, depending on who they play tomorrow,
right,
it might just be kind of pointless to have her out there, because it'd be like, you're going out there and you're, you know, more often than not going to win that game. And then if, you know, going out to the consolation final, maybe we could see her then.
Possibly,
give her another 2 days of rest, or give her at least another day of rest. And then she gets to go out there and play one last game, you know, with the team she's played her entire career with.
Yeah.
I think that's the best case scenario. I really don't, if UPEI is the opponent tomorrow, probably not going to see her tomorrow.
You know what? I agree with that. I would not risk her tomorrow. And if she wants to play one more game, then yeah, we'll put her in the consolation final.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. So I think you're going to see, if Carissa's good enough to go, I think you see her play in the consolation final as well. Just as that last game, go out there, have a bunch of fun. Don't worry too much about the score. Don't worry about whether we win or lose. Just go and play your heart out as much as you can out there, because it's the last time we're going to see them in Bison colors, unfortunately.
And as sad as that is, you know, they've had amazing careers, and they definitely deserve to go out in the best way possible. So, yeah.
I don't have a problem at all with that. Let's hope that can happen. If you can hear the noise in the background, we are legitimately moments away from having the UPEI fans go bananas for their team again.
Yeah.
As they get ready to come on. Montreal is back on the ice.
That was an amazing first period.
We thought that it was going to be pretty much a blowout for Montreal, just based upon the statistical and certainly the experience differences between these two teams. I got to say right now, Camille Stringer, who's the goaltender for UPEI, is standing on her head. She made 12 saves in that first period, but UPEI found a little offense at the end there and made the Montreal goaltender, Obrasine, make a couple of really tough saves.
Yeah, she really, you know, they really turned it on, especially kind of coming off of that very successful penalty kill that they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have done a fantastic job. They were being outshot, I think it was 10-0
before
they finally got their first shot. And, you know, outshot Montreal the rest of the way. And there are a lot of points where we were expecting this building to just erupt.
And it almost did. A couple of little saves. There were some loud cheers, some loud pops for that in terms of Stringer making some really big saves. But, I mean, there's a couple of opportunities there where crowd just ooh and awed with the chances that UPEI got. So they'll start on the power play here with 1:05 to go. We're not going to call this game, obviously, but we'll keep you updated as to what happens in the game, if there are big plays, or certainly if there's a goal scored, we'll keep you updated as to that. So talking about the championship now, we obviously see one game played. We're in the midst of game two. Game three and game four go tomorrow. Alberta plays Toronto in the afternoon. Jason, your thoughts on that game?
It's going to be an interesting game to watch, really, because I...
we found out some new information, so we'll bring that up in a second.
Yeah,
but
with this new information, I'm thinking Alberta could be in a bit of trouble. Like, it's not going to be as lopsided a game as I think people are expecting. Toronto's not a bad team by any stretch. They're not the best team. But they could certainly make a dent in Alberta.
So we found it. As we know, Autumn McDougall is still out with a shoulder injury. She's still in a sling. We've seen her walking around the rink, arms still wrapped up. Thoughts and prayers go out to her. In saying that, though, sorry, a little bit of an inside joke, folks, but in saying that, we found out that Amy Boucher is also missing from the Alberta roster this weekend as she's at home preparing for the MCATs. So I'm not sure about this. Yeah, I mean, super. That's fantastic if she can get into the into medical school. 100% agree that that's way. I mean, at the time, it doesn't seem like it's that important, but it's way more important for the rest of her life compared to a national championship. Now, saying that though, I don't know very many teams that can succeed without their top two center players, without their top two centers at all, let alone a team that relies so heavily on those top two centers to be the difference for them.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see who slots into those center positions.
Yeah.
Because when you lose your top two centers, it basically throws your entire lineup into disarray. It's not like a winger where you can, you know, you just push the next two guys up to whichever side it is. It's you need to assess basically your entire roster and say who has the skills to, especially in a tournament like this where you don't have the resources to just like pull somebody from out of nowhere and bring them in. Well, you need to assess the talent of like who on this team is good at faceoffs, who can drive play, who can be the quarterback in a play. You need to basically rethink your entire roster, even to just replace your first line center, but to replace your first and second line centers?
Yes, that's impossible, almost impossible. And now I say that only because, again, you were just talking about winning faceoffs and that kind of... Like, that's what McDougall does so well. She wins faceoffs. She's a possession driver. She's absolutely killer in the offensive zone. But then Boucher steps, and we saw her do it last week against, or 2 weeks ago against Manitoba, step in for McDougall and be just as effective. Mm-hmm. Now you're missing, again, those top two centers. I think that this becomes a much more difficult path now for Alberta, especially when you consider if they beat Toronto, they're likely going to have either St. Thomas or McGill waiting for them, and neither of those teams are going to be pushed over very easily.
Yeah, and really, even if they do make it to the finals, you're likely seeing this Montreal Caribans team.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who are...
Again, take nothing away from UPEI. It's still 0-0, and we're 3 minutes into the second period now.
Yeah, we've seen crazier things happen, and, you know...
I mean, there was a 7-2 upset last year when Saskatchewan beat St. Effects, so...
Yeah, it happens, and really, if it happened right now, I would not be surprised.
I'd still be a little surprised.
Yeah, but Montreal was kind of the team coming into this where I thought definitely if it wasn't the Bisons in the final, like if the Bisons would play anybody in the final, it would be Montreal. Obviously, they would have been playing Saturday if things shook out a little bit differently, but I kind of put them in that Concordia spot. They are the
team to beat on this side of the draw, for sure.
They are the proof that you can win a national championship.
Right.
You have to go, you know, the road is paved through Montreal.
I don't know. I look at it right now and I go, and I'm not taking anything away from Montreal. Like, look, you look at Montreal's bench right now. There's not a worry on that bench. They're having fun over there. They're laughing.
Yeah.
So they're not worried in terms of what's going on. But again, as I was saying earlier when we were off the air, the longer this game stays tied, the scarier it gets for Montreal because one goal could be the difference that you need, right? So I like what UPEI is doing. I think that the fact that they're hanging around and hanging in there and not backing down from this, again, we were talking about it, you know, yesterday and certainly to this morning before we got to the rink that maybe they're just naive enough that they don't give a crap about how good Montreal is. Maybe they just go, you know what? We're not a great team in terms of a powerhouse like any of these other national teams. We got the crowd, and we got a little bit of not knowing the pressure. We have zero pressure on us to do well. We just got to show up and play.
Mm-hmm.
Go play.
Yeah, and really, that's kind of the way.
Oh no.
Well, it had to happen sometime.
Oh, no. Schringer just whiffed on that puck. LaBelle brings it down, cuts across the line, gets to the top of the circle. She fires one on net that looked like it hit a stick, but should have been easily saved by Schringer, and it got through the wickets and into the back of the net at 15-0, with 15-08 to go in the second, folks. So, as it stands right now, Montreal up 1-0 on UPEI.
Yeah. And you were talking about, before that goal, you were talking about playing without that pressure. That's very important. You know, anybody that's taken a sports psychology course can tell you pressure is probably one of the worst things mentally for you, and that throws off absolutely everything you do. You need to come in confident in yourself, relaxed, and ready to do what you have to do. Kelsey Wog from the Bison swimming team, she's been seeing a sports psychologist this year and learning different tricks and things she can do to clear her mind space and get herself ready for competitions and stay calm during competitions. And it helped her win a slew of gold medals.
She won four more again this year. So,
She set a meet record at Canada West and
smashed that world, the Canadian university record that she was swimming in. So, No, I mean, I agree. I mean, if you have no pressure, there's very little pressure on you to do anything other than play hockey. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of the ball's kind of in your court at that point to determine how well you're gonna play. And I mean, so far we've seen UPEI come out and play extremely well. So, congratulations to them. So, Alberta and Toronto go tomorrow afternoon, and then we have in the evening the McGill and St. Thomas tilt. McGill, obviously the finalist in the RSEC and AUS's champion, the St. Thomas Tommies. First time in their AUS history they've won the banner in the Atlantic Conference.
Yeah, and you made an interesting point in the pregame show before the game that this could be the last chance for St. Thomas for a while to win a national championship.
They got 9 graduating seniors on their team this year in terms of having sort of that giant chunk of senior hockey players come through for them. If they don't win, they're basically in rebuilding mode, much like the Bisons, where they have 8 graduating seniors. So you look at that and you kind of go, St. Thomas might, I mean, they won their first one, congratulations, but it might be a while before we see another banner hung up in that arena. So
yeah. And anytime you lose that amount of like veteran presence in your core, that completely throws off your program.
See, and I wonder, and again, just knowing that, and maybe this affected the Bison, maybe it crept in a little bit, but I wonder how many of those seniors, how many of those 8 graduating players from the Bisons today really took it upon themselves and said, you know what, this is my last chance, and put that pressure on themselves to really try and play above their heads today.
We saw definitely Chris Kirkup and Alana Sharman playing that way, where they basically put the team on their back. Statistically, Alana Sharman was more productive than Carissa Kirkup, but visibly, Carissa Kirkup was top player of that game.
And Keen Kostenko on that line, too, certainly looked like they were out there for blood today. So.
And Erica Reeder, she was trapped in her own zone for what was like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Just on the ice constantly. So I think for them, for all of them, it was huge for them. You know, they all came out and played their hearts out, and it just wasn't meant to be, I guess, this year.
No, and I mean, a few mistakes cost them a little bit. But, I mean, looking at that St. Thomas McGill, I mean, before we get to the legal ID here, obviously, if you're McGill, you're looking at this and going, all right, we have a chance here against, to maybe to come in. And we're going to, I mean, again, there's already a weaker number one team on our side in terms of our bracket. This might be a year where we get an all-RSEC final if Montreal finds a way to get through and then McGill finds a way to get through. Mm-hmm. You could have that sort of rematch of the RSEC championship where those two teams met there.
And we almost had that last year with Canada West, with Saskatchewan almost sneaking through.
Saskatchewan almost shocked Western there.
Yeah, and the one thing, we were talking about it last night, what happens next for the Bisons in terms of leadership, even. Like, who's going to be wearing letters next year? It's a complete shift for the program to be missing those players, not just on the ice, but in the room.
Yeah. And that's a big, when you think about it, that's a big chunk of the leadership. Uh-oh. Oh,
nice
great save by Stringer on the giveaway. Glove save, stared down. Looks like Germaine, and she just absolutely snagged it out of the air on her. You look at that, at the voices that are going, the Kirkups, the Keens, the Sharmans, and you kind of go, it's going to be a completely new team next year, like from top to bottom. You might go, you know what, a third of the team is leaving. It's always going to be a new team. But it means entirely new leadership, entirely new lines, entirely new first line. That entire first line's graduating.
Yep.
So you kind of got a whole sort of wholesale swap in the Manitoba side, and the same thing's going to happen with St. Thomas. What do you do at that point? I mean, you're kind of, we heard a couple of the players say it, that, this could be the last time they ever get here. And you kind of feel bad for them because you don't know what the future is going to hold for them now.
Yeah, and it's... Oh, here we go.
Oh, hit the bar! Wow. Oh, the monster hit. No penalty called. On the hip check.
Oh, better call now. Body checking penalty. It took a bit of hollering to have them call that.
They're giving it to UPI? Wow.
Yeah.
So
I don't know who it was, but a player for UPI just took off down the left side on an extended breakaway, took a shot off the crossbar, and then dumped somebody from Montreal as we peek over to the U Sports feed, see if they have a replay. Yeah, UPI.
I think it would have been sitting either Gerard or Linden for UPI that was breaking down the left side there. So couldn't quite catch the number on the roster that's being held beside me here.
I mean, credit to UPI. They're being very opportunistic tonight. The times that they do break through, they're getting their opportunities. They're not getting a lot of them, but they're getting through.
So, I mean, again, we talked a little bit about Miguel. We're going to go to the legal ID break in about 2 minutes here. With Manitoba losing today, obviously Guelph's still in it. They're the number three seed. And, yep. and you kind of go, okay, like we kind of, I mean, if Montreal ends up winning this game, 3-2, which is kind of what we expected if you're, you know, the betting sort of type. And I don't know if like looking at the way Montreal is playing right now, I don't know if Guelph has the wheels to maybe keep up with them. But in saying that, Valerie Lamenta today was absolutely stellar in that Griffins goal. And I mean, I know she's won Player of the Year already. She's never won a national. The highest that they've ever finished in their 5 appearances in the national championships is 4th. Might this be the year the Griffins break through?
I mean, if Lamenta keeps playing the way that she's playing, they definitely could. And they just need one game, you know, 2 games where Lowy takes off, or Jay takes off, or somebody for that team, even McKinnon, who played a fantastic game.
She had a great
game
today, yeah.
They just need a few of their big guns to start going, and Lamenta could carry them to a national championship.
She was outstanding in the net today. She made a couple of really key saves in the third period there to bolster the defense of the Griffins as they withstood the Manitoba attacks over and over again there. But yeah, no, Lamenta was I mean, she's the reason that goaltender of the year in the OUA. She showed it everything and more today in terms of making a couple of key.
Nice opportunity.
And then a good poke check after that. Stringer playing all sorts of incredible hockey here.
That's one thing that I really wish more goaltenders had the confidence to do is use their stick. You know, goaltenders are so worried about tripping up players in front or...
The five hole people seem to worry about a lot.
Yeah. And you know, the stick is part of your equipment. It's part of you. You got to use it. It's not just for stopping pucks behind the net and leaving them for a defender. It's, you know, you use it to make saves. You use it to knock opportunities away.
With that, we're going to take a quick legal ID break, folks, as we hit the top of the hour here. We'll be back in about 20 seconds or so. We're going to get into the men's side of the draws. The Cavendish Farms Cup began in Lethbridge today as well. A couple of you, actually all three Canada West teams in action today. One already finished. The other game between the two Canada West teams will come up later. We'll talk about that in about 20 seconds here on 101.5 UMFM. You are listening to The Hockey Show.
UMFM made the unprecedented move in hiring radio consultant Ron Swanson to improve the operations of the station. Will we see major changes?
Normally, if given a choice between doing something and nothing, I'd choose to do nothing. But I will do something if it helps someone else do nothing. I'd work all night if it meant nothing got done.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM.
And with the legal ID break, Montreal takes a penalty, so UPI will go back to the power play here, down 1-0 with 8:30 to go here in the second period. Back here live, in PEI in Charlottetown at McLaughlin Arena here on the UPEI campus. And we, as we said, there's another tournament going on. The Men's Hockey National Championship got underway in Lethbridge. Saskatchewan and Guelph, second Guelph mentioned today, is the men's and women's team both played on the early game in each of their tournaments. And it turned out that it didn't matter for Guelph's men's team because Saskatchewan is that good.
Yes.
6-1 victory for the Huskies. We'll run through the scoring quickly here in terms of what happened. Two goals in each period for the Huskies as they got things underway early in this game. As I try and get the period information up. So it looks like, I can take a quick look here. Logan McVeigh scored the first goal for Saskatchewan, just 3:37 in on the power play. Evan Fiala added another one at 12:39 of the first period. We jump to the second period, and it appears that Carson Stadnick, Scott Simmons, and Wyatt Johnson added goals for Carson Stadnick and Wyatt Johnson both on the power play. Stadnick at 1:46 on the power play, and Wyatt Johnson 13:41 on the power play. In between those two, bookended by those two goals, was a Guelph goal from Scott Simmons to make it a 4-1 game after 40 minutes. And then in the third period, Carson Stadnick with his second, and then Levi Cable unassisted late in the game, 16:42 with that one, made it a 6-1 victory. Jason, you've seen the Huskies play this season. You know kind of how good they are. Let's talk about the Saskatchewan Huskies team.
The Saskatchewan Huskies are really... Everyone talks about how good the Alberta Golden Bears are. I think Saskatchewan's always been, you know, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. In Canada West, you know, Alberta always gets the glory. They are,
Oh my God, that stayed out. Three on one for Montreal goes down. Puck is some great passing between the three players. Puck ends up behind Schringer, and she somehow kept it out of the net.
Oh man, she's having an unbelievable game. But yeah, Saskatchewan. I wrote about it last week or 2 weeks ago, talking about how the Bison should emulate Saskatchewan if they want to get back to, you know, competing for a Canada West title or potentially a national championship anytime soon, because they need to lean into what Saskatchewan has. They don't get to recruit the biggest names like Alberta does.
Right.
They don't get, you know, all these guys from, you know, the AHL, the ECHL, the Dub. They take lots of local guys that are really good hockey players that never got a chance anywhere else. They recruit a bunch of, you know, some of the lower tier guys from the rest of the country. And they play within this system that it's more like Wolves than like Huskies. It's this pack mentality. It's this connection between players, this fluidity, and within this very rigid structure that they play. I talk about it. It's a rotating unit, especially when they're on the power play.
Yeah.
You know, it where you'll see the Bisons break down. It's they have their positions and they stay static in those positions,
right,
and guys move around, but nobody reacts to the movement around them. Saskatchewan, they will full on rotate. All players in all their positions will rotate through to follow the play around. So there's always a guy in a position wherever there has been somebody else. So it's a little bit different than Manitoba, where, you know, guys will bunch up in different areas or slide left or right. It's this rotation that follows through, so you always know where somebody's going to be.
It clearly paid off with three power play goals today on the six goals they scored.
Yeah, exactly. It gives them this ability to know, you know, when something happens, they know not just where somebody is, but who is there.
Right, yeah.
So you know what that person's skill set is, what hand they are, what they like to do on certain plays, and that's just the chemistry they're able to build. And you can recognize that through that rotation that you're always going to be, you know, Jesse Forsberg, when he shoots the puck on net, it's always going to be Carson Stadnick on that left side to pick up that rebound. It's, you know, if Evan Fiala comes down that left side, he always knows that Cole Baumel is going to sweep around the right side for that backdoor pass. Like, they know different things about each other that, you know, you don't get when you don't have that type of relationship and you don't have that structure with the team. And, you know, I've been saying it all year that this, I think this is Saskatchewan's year. With the guys that are there, with the team that they've formulated now, they definitely could win a national championship this year, and they're my pick.
They are awaiting the setup then that comes out of the next semifinal. Starts at 7 p.m. Mountain Time tonight. Lethbridge versus Alberta. As Lethbridge gets the worst possible draw they could get in this tournament.
I question that decision. I have questioned it very vocally.
But we've had this problem, though, with men's hockey. And we'll bring this up in a second. I'll let you finish this in a second. But I think the men's hockey draw entirely is flawed. And we'll discuss that in a second. So, okay, so you were saying, go ahead with your I think that.
I think that giving Lethbridge this opportunity was a mistake. They are not as... Like, at least UPEI made the playoffs, made some noise. They did something.
Yeah.
They didn't have a great result in the playoffs, but they showed up and they did something. And Lethbridge, all year, we knew last year what this team was. We knew this year what that team was. And it, to me, they don't deserve to be at the national championship. I'm sorry. They don't deserve to be there.
You won't get any arguments from me because, I mean, I think that... And again, we talked a little bit about how maybe UPEI didn't deserve to be here. But again, you're right. They actually made the playoffs. They took UNB to three games. They're loaded with freshmen. They're loaded with second-year players. I get that they're, you know, there's a chance for some inexperience to creep in there. Somebody's got a... great save again by... Hit the post and it's cleared away off the goal line with a defender. Oh my gosh. Still 1-0 as UPEI is sending everybody and the boat into the crease to save that out.
The thing that we mentioned earlier is that UPEI, they get to host this year and next year. So this is all gravy for them.
Right. Yeah.
This is prepping for who and what they're going to face next year and what they can learn from this year.
And I mean, look at Lethbridge, and Lethbridge is, I mean, don't get me wrong. I know that, you know, people will say, oh, it's, you know, it's a year away. You have no idea. Lethbridge is going to be the same team next year. They're going to be awful again.
Yeah. And they've been that way since they won that one Canada West title, 10 years ago? They have been that same team that's been, you know, credit to Regina, credit to Manitoba. They've gone up and down the standings before. Lethbridge, if it was not for Manitoba and Regina being so bad this year, they would have missed the playoffs.
So, and that's entirely true. My problem with the entire men's side is that, again, you get the host team going, which is fine. No big deal. Host team can go no matter who the host is. The champions from each conference go. Again, no problem with that. You got five teams now that are already in. The last three teams, though, are probably the most ridiculous. Oh, no. Puck off a leg, and it goes over to a Montreal player who had nothing but net to shoot at. And that's a goal right there for, looks like, number 12, Quinnick. As she makes it a 2-0 game with a minute 30 to go here in the second. 2-0 for Montreal now, minute 30 to go in the second period. So again, going back to the draw, host team goes, the three champions go, and I'll clarify this in a second. Three champions go because they don't have an RSEC. There's no RSEC conference in men's hockey. So
which I think is inherently flawed.
Right. And this is where I'm getting to the major flaw then. Because if you have the Quebec teams playing, it's Quebec and the Ottawa teams sort of in that sort of corridor there, all playing against each other, it makes more sense. I get it's a smaller conference, smaller division, but it makes more sense if you're going to send the top two teams from there.
Yeah.
Because then you'll have 15 teams in the OUA. It's a monster conference. But you can take out, I'm going to say you can take out three teams and put them in the RSEC, make that an 18 conference. Okay? So you got 12 teams in the RSEC, or in the OUA, and then you can split it into the OUA East and the OUA West, and the winner of each of those conferences then goes to Nationals. And then what happens is you get two from Ontario, you get two from the RSEC, you get two from the AUS, for example, this year, and then you get the host and the champion from Canada West. Mm-hmm. And as it rotates through, you get much more evenly matched teams and much better competition out of that, because right now, as it stands, Lethbridge probably shouldn't be there. I'm not going to say this to be rude, but I don't think that getting Carleton there was a great idea. Carleton against UNB is going to be a whitewash as well. And then you look at St. FX and Queens. St. FX has played against UNB all year. I don't know if Queens is going to be ready for that beatdown either.
Not at all.
And St. FX, as we remember, is coming off that emotional Jake Studnicka incident where there was a bench-clearing brawl. They battled through hard to get to that final against the UNB Varsity Reds. They are built for war at this point. They are looking to win because that's all they know how to do now. So I look at that and I go, between Alberta, Saskatchewan, you got pretty much the good odds there. They're going to one of those two teams is likely going to end up in the final. And then I look at UNB and likely St. FX. It's a Canada West AUS final here in terms of what you're going to do.
Like, yeah.
You can't get away from those teams. And it's going to be either Saskatchewan, but it's likely going to be UNB because UNB's pounded on St. FX all season.
Yeah.
So, like, UNB just got a bye to the final because none of the teams that they're in the same conference with have any chance of beating them.
Yeah. And, like, Queens isn't a bad team.
No, they're not
a
bad team.
They're a very good team, but they can't stand up. They are not built to stand up to one of the top teams in the country.
UNB plays with speed, they play with skill, and they play with physicality. They are a dangerous team.
They are an ECHL team.
Yes, yeah.
Playing university hockey.
So I look at that and I go, there's no way that the U Sports men's champion is built for any team other than a Saskatchewan, an Alberta, or a UNB to repeat every year.
Yeah, this is it's inherently flawed in the way that, like, yeah, like there other programs they've struggled to build, they've struggled to recruit, but you can't become a draw unless you have a clear opportunity to actually challenge for a national championship. So, you know, Canada West is a two-horse race every year. The AUS is a one-horse race every year.
Correct, yeah.
So how can other teams in those conferences develop to reach that pinnacle when everyone that's worth anything says, okay, I'm going to go to UNB. Okay, I'm going to go to Alberta. Okay, right. I'm going to go to Saskatchewan. And then you look at...
And it's funny that you say that because there are guys that don't even... That aren't even on the recruitment list that will show up and go, you know what? I played pro last year. I want to come and play for your team.
Yeah. It's...
Like, that's the sickening part is that literally, Alberta could roll out a line of all professional players, of guys that played either in the ECHL, the AHL, or one of the lower leagues. Yeah. But all of these guys have professional experience prior to coming to Alberta.
Yeah, and Manitoba had, you know, three games of Brett Stoven in Missouri.
Yeah.
And Michael St. Croix, who left, and, you know, really nothing else. And then it's bad for the OUA teams because they have nothing. They literally have nothing.
You show up and you just get pounded at these tournaments if you're the OUA. And literally, the OUA East, which is the RSEC, which would be the RSEC, which sends one team, a.k.a. Carleton, they're even worse than the OUA teams.
Yeah.
And you go, what the hell? Like, how do you get over that?
The balance is so far off. Because, yeah, if there is an RSEC or an OUA East, sending two teams, that is two teams that become a draw.
Right.
They're like, oh, you have to go
but
to a national
But you also have to eliminate one of the other good teams if it's hosted by Canada West. So that means one of Saskatchewan wouldn't be in that draw. And it does. It sucks because they are one of the best teams in the nation. But the problem is it's a three-dog race every year between UNB, Alberta, and Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't like... And I get it. And this will reflect back on the same problem that Sportsnet is finding out with the basketball finals being televised on Sportsnet 360. People don't care about Carleton winning their 14th title in 17 years.
Yeah, it's Calgary versus... It's Calgary versus Carleton for the 15th straight year. Or with football, it's like, all right, Calgary got to the finals again. They played Western again. So Guelph again.
And it's one of those same things. Again, you look at the CFL, the Stampeders and usually Ottawa coming out of the East. I don't want to see that Grey Cup every year. I want to see somebody different in there. Come on, let's shake this up a little bit. The repetitiveness, and it's starting to happen in women's hockey, and this is the part that I fear. Alberta's always going to be Alberta. We understand that. But everybody else has to meet Alberta. The problem is that nobody else can chase down Alberta because Alberta's recruiting all the best players from all over Western Canada now.
Yeah.
And then I look at UBC doing a little bit of the same, but they don't get the same quality of players half the time. Manitoba tries, and we bring in great players from our own province. But again, you look at the fact that we can't constantly keep up with Alberta because all they're doing is rolling in goal scorer and playmaker and goal scorer and playmaker and Team Canada goalie and playmaker and goal scorer. And you go, and again, I'm not jealous. I think what Alberta's doing is fantastic. Yeah. They have the resources to do that. Fantastic. Go and do it. Like, I think that Howie Draper's got it set up properly where he can build this this perennial national team competitive.
Well, it's because he gets handed a blank check every year.
But that's the thing, though, and I think that's unfair to the teams. Like, and again, I'm not gonna put them in this boat because I don't know what their financial situation is. But I'm almost certain that simply due to campus size and certainly enrollment numbers, UPEI will never compete with Alberta.
No,
ever,
never.
And I don't know. And I don't know other than. Maybe they'll win 1 out of 100 games against them, just catch them on a bad day. But if you're losing 99% of your games to Alberta, you kind of at some point just go, enough's enough. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, it's a problem that it's going to be really hard to solve because you almost have to go, and it's so hard because it's university institutions and it's basically just glorified intramural league.
Sure.
When you get to that,
sure, yeah.
Like, even when you get to this level. But you need to go at it like a CFL, CPL type. Everybody shares from the same pool. We all put money into it. If you're if you're Alberta and you make more money than everybody else, you have more money to throw around because you're from Alberta, fine. But that doesn't mean that you get to spend like it's going out of style because that hurts the game. Like, we had a conversation last night for well over 2 hours about why hockey isn't growing the way that it should because, you know, we're going about it the wrong way.
And that's entirely, and again, I totally 100% agree with you about how there's this prestige that everybody thinks is associated with specific schools. And I get that. Like, they win. They always win. They're always going to win just because of who they bring in.
Yep.
But at the same time, you're destroying the rest of the schools who may have had a good year and simply can't go to nationals now because they're not hosting and they're not the champion. Or they may not go to nationals because they had a great year, they got upset, and then all of their seniors graduate, they're never heard from again.
Yeah.
Like, that happens occasionally as well, and you kind of go, start all over again. Like, this is not going to be good again.
Yeah.
And I get it. Again, I get it that what Alberta is doing, what Howie Draper is doing out in Alberta is good for his school and good for hockey in Alberta because he is the institution that everybody looks to first. But the rest of his province, Lethbridge, Mount Royal, Calgary, have finished no higher than fifth place in any of the last 4 years. That was Mount Royal this year. Those were the bottom three teams every single year in the previous 4 years.
And that's just, you almost need a concerted effort on the part of Hockey Canada. And like, we're seeing what's happening in Russia, where Russian hockey is suffering because the road to the Gagarin Cup final goes through Moscow or St. Petersburg. Because that's the way that the money flows. That's the way that the structure of the league. They had enough players.
Right,
they had three teams worth of players last year. And it's just, it's, sure, you get your glory, you get your trophy, but then people stop caring.
Fans stop going to games.
Yeah, and then you're diluting the conversation we had with Amanda today. You're diluting that by closing off those spots.
Yeah.
You're reducing you're actually diluting the talent instead of distilling it. You're getting the more talented players, but then your pool that you can draw from shrinks every single year until there's nothing left.
Right. And I think that, I mean, there's always going to be kids that play hockey. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And people are going to be, they'll be the next, you know, McDavid or the next, you know, that comes up and he'll be fantastic and everything like that. I get that. I get there's always going to be some kids who are very good, who have a natural skill, who certainly can do more than everybody else can. I get that. But again, when you look at how recruiting works in Canada, like there are teams out in Canada and teams in the U.S. now that are recruiting for the 2023-2024 season at this point.
Yeah.
And you go, wait a minute, that's like 5 years away. How do you even know what you need in 5 years? Like, you cannot anticipate that you're going to need two centermen and a defenseman in 5 years from now because you're going to have two centermen and defensemen graduating at that point. A number of factors go into kids staying or leaving school.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that easy.
And you can't really even guarantee that they're going to make it at that point.
But you can't even guarantee your program's going to be around at that point. Like, that's the thing. If you're a cash-strapped team or a team that's under financial stress, you cannot recruit 5 years down the line. Not that a lot of teams are doing that are financially strapped. But in saying that, though, like, there's announcements that come out, and I see them on Twitter, and I see them whenever. Like, Steve Cook in Saskatchewan's already got, like, four players for next year. Not for next year, like, next year. Like, 2020, 2021. And I go... But again, like, what if these kids just go one day, I don't want to play hockey anymore. Yeah. Like, I'm done.
Like, we had that with Natasha Kostenko.
Right.
She played in Regina. She's like, I don't want to play anymore. And then she left. And it was a serendipitous moment on a rink in Australia where she's like, I want to go home and play hockey again.
Right. And then came home to Manitoba and said, John, do you have any spots for me? And John said no and said, you're welcome to come to the tryout. And somehow, some way, I mean, Kostenko's got talent enough that she can probably make it, but somehow, some way, Kostenko played herself onto the team, and you kind of go, that changes your entire outlook on your team now, because there's now a rookie sitting instead of having a player with 3 years or 2 years of service under their belt already that understand that. Again, that's the same thing with Gowie in Alberta. When she came back from Hungary, when she was playing with the Hungarian national team, she was originally a Calgary Dino, came back and went to Howie and said, Howie, I want to play for the Pandas.
Yeah. And then Howie's like, oh, you played for a national team? Okay.
Yeah, done. And that's fine. And again, she could have gone anywhere else. But the fact that she chose Alberta because it gave her the best chance of winning was not a non-calculated move by her. She knew what she was doing. So don't tell me that you're going to know what you're going to need in 5 years' time, because all of these players, any one of these players can transfer in. Like, that's the thing. You can get any number of players that want to come to your school, like, for any reason.
We saw with the Bisons this year, the men's team, you lose a couple guys and then everything falls apart.
Well, we saw with Saskatchewan last year, you gain a goaltender like Jessica Vance and everything changes.
Yeah, it's so difficult to figure a way out of it, but that doesn't mean we can't try.
No, and that's the thing, is that there needs to be, I'm not saying we need to put restrictions on who you recruit or how you recruit, but there needs to be, and I hate to say it this way, there almost needs to be like a central registry so that everybody knows who's available to be recruited at that point. If you think you've got the money and the resources and the school system and the education, I guess, stream or education line that you want to offer one of these players, then maybe you go after a player that you never thought you had a chance at. Like, maybe there's a chance that you could bring in a player like a Gowie to a Manitoba, because we have a great education system, a great whatever she's studying there at Manitoba, as opposed to just going to Alberta and saying, I want to play here.
Yeah, it's almost like that would actually be a good idea. You could have a registry. So we know, you know, across U Sports, we know, okay, this guy is, you. It's almost like you have to commit to U Sports in general, and then the offers come in.
Well, I think you commit to your conference first, and then if it doesn't happen, then you can go nationwide. So if kids are interested, like when UNB started up this year, when the UNB Reds came back, and they needed players, they should have been able to take from the AUS pool first of kids that were that you know, again, list off your top four schools that you want to go to, and if UNB's on there, boom, you get a chance to talk to that school.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, there's going to be some teams that maybe get left out in the cold. Like, maybe UPEI isn't on everybody's destination of places they want to go. But there still should be enough people on UPEI that when everybody else's top four are already gone, UPEI might pick out one or two gems out of that list now. And there's a way to work it through. It's almost like having a draft. Mm-hmm. But instead of a draft, you're recruiting against every other team by saying, these are one of the top four schools I want to go to. There's a pool of, say 20 players for Alberta, say 20 players for Manitoba, and they're competing for 14 of the same players.
I mean, I would say even having a regional restriction would help, but we see in the CHL that really doesn't work, because the OHL still dominates because Ontario is a factory for fantastic hockey players. So the OHL outstrips the WHL and the Q in every single respect.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, you look at the fact that if you're a Western Hockey League player, a player living in the Western provinces, you have to go to the WHL for the most part.
Like,
unless you have some way of moving your residence into one of those other areas, you can't play in the queue unless you're traded there or you request to be moved there.
Yeah.
So I think it's an easier way to sort of keep a good eye on talent, But again, if one of the teams in your region doesn't select you, and you go onto the national registry at that point where anybody can select you, that's all you need to do is if there's a place that you want to go. And again, it doesn't take away the fact that scholarship can be offered to players of exceptional ability.
Yeah,
it's these players who aren't being offered scholarships that are being brought in. Like again, when you hear rumors of Howie Draper bringing in 30 kids into a tryout and then selecting four of them, and you go, how is that even possible?
How is that even fair?
How is that even legal? If they're coming to a tryout, you can't just ditch them after that, can you? Apparently you can. So
Howie found a way.
Howie runs his own elite hockey school, and that's how he gets them in there. So, I mean, there are ways, there are certain limitations that should be made that only extend to, you know, for example, John Rempel can't run his own elite hockey school for women aged 15 to 18. Like, that shouldn't be allowed, because then he's going through and he's basically handpicking the players he wants from his elite hockey school.
And then once, you know, the program grows to a point where it becomes a draw, then people are going to be purposefully putting their daughters in that
right.
school for a chance to be noticed by John Rempel and then pulled into Manitoba.
So, I mean, I don't know what the fix is. I'm sure there's a way to fix it if that's the case. I know there's probably going to be a lot of conversation. I know there's a lot of schools, especially when we hear out in the AUS about how many Manitobans play out here.
Yeah.
I mean, we heard from the St. FX scout today how many you know Manitobans they've been looking at this year. How many kids from Saskatchewan, tons of kids from Saskatchewan playing out in the Atlantic Conference here. So when you look at that and you kind of go, all right, there's going to be some time here. There's going to be some, got to be some change to keep some of those kids at home, I guess. But how do you do it? How do you limit teams from taking advantage of that? And the answer is there really is no good answer yet. So,
yep.
So at the same time, we are just about out of time here. We got about 2 minutes to go here. Next time we'll be on the air in terms of doing the next broadcast. Bright and early, folks. 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. 8 a.m. in Winnipeg on Saturday morning. It's a 10 a.m. start here in PEI for Manitoba. They will play the losing team of this UPEI Montreal game. Currently, Montreal leads 2-0. We are 10 seconds into the third period, so keep an eye on the usports.ca website if you want to find out who they're playing and when they're playing in terms of any games. We will be on the air whenever they do play, so hopefully we'll see you on Sunday as well with the consolation final going on Sunday. Jason, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Just keep your eyes peeled on the Manitoban.ca. We'll be putting up articles basically all week as fast
yeah.
as I can write them.
Yeah, for sure. We'll make sure we highlight some of that as well in terms of what's going on. I believe you're going to have an interview with the Manitoban that plays for UPEI tomorrow. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, we're talking to Sophie Vandell tomorrow at around 2 o'clock when her classes are done for the day. So keep your eyes peeled for that. We've got a whole bunch of things planned. We're going to do a lot of interviews tomorrow.
Right on. So with that, we're going to get out of here for another week, folks. Thanks for joining us out here in PEI. Love to be on the road and doing these fun trips with both the Bisons and the Hockey Show. We'll see you when we get back to Winnipeg, folks. I'll be away from Winnipeg next week, so Beans will run the show. Probably get Payjack to run the show next week. We'll get him to host it maybe next
maybe.
Week. I'll call in. I'll see what we can do. But with that, we're out of here for another week, folks. Here is a little more Crowded House with Don't Dream It's Over, because unfortunately, Manitoba won't defend their championship this year after a 3-2 loss to Guelph today. With that, we'll see you next week, everybody, on the Hockey Show. I am Teebs. I am with Jason Payjack. Want to sign off for him as well. Thanks for coming out today, Jason. Appreciate you always showing up on the show. We are out. See you next week, everybody.